The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived. Thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance, Clutch Athletics, and Rich Paul, the designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community. With rising defensive stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at newbalance.com. What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Pick Six Podcast, CBS Sports Daily NFL Podcast. I'm Will Brinson. I'm your host, and this is the AFC East Free Agency Grade Micropod in an effort to see if I can manage time correctly and to hit all the divisions. We are going to rip through some smaller podcasts. You'll find them in your feed sprinkled throughout the week as we work our way towards the draft. As always, we will have a mailbag coming up, but we will hit all these 8 divisions. Make sure and check those out. And while you're checking those out, you should also remember that it's still madness time in the sports world with the NCAA tournament as crazy as ever. And you're a diehard sports fan, which means you want to stay in the know with all sports. And that's where CBS Sports HQ is your streaming answer. Think about what's on tap this week alone. NFL draft, NFL draft trade coverage, NFL offseason coverage, MLB opening day is Thursday, Bellator 255. We got the Valero Texas Open coming up, the Masters in 2 weeks, and of course, unmatched breaking news coverage. We could go on, but you get it. Sports never sleeps, and neither does CBS Sports HQ. It's available on your computer, your phone, via the CBS Sports app, and your connected TV. I leave it on all day long, and if you live and breathe sports, you should do that too. All right, joining me to talk about the AFC East, the only man who would be, we would even think about calling for an AFC East podcast. He's from Boston. It's Sully. Tyler Sullivan, what's up, buddy?
What's going on, Will? How you doing?
I'm doing good. I'm going to try not to derail the podcast with this quick.
But you're going to derail it?
I don't know if we talked about this last time, but I was doing a Toucher and Rich radio hit with, on 98.5 The Sports Hub in Boston. But I love those guys. They're great. I go on every week, every Tuesday morning. And, they were like, who's this idiot, Tyler Sullivan? And I was like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Like, one, Sully's a good, great dude. And two, he definitely listens to your show. Like, please, like, don't torch him. And then you ended up going on Wednesday because they were mad at you about a proposed Patriots trade, that involves Stephon Gilmore and a future first, or no, 15 Stephon Gilmore and some change to get up to number 4. How did your radio hit with, TNR go?
It went well. They dragged me through the mud like they should. And it was good. It was good. I mean, we ultimately, agreed to disagree. They didn't even hammer me on that one the most because I kind of just, you know, made a case for it and stood the ground. The one with Cincinnati where I was kind of throwing in like, you know, future first, handful of picks, N'Keal Harry. That one was getting a little weird because I don't know if N'Keal Harry has any value, but
right.
I think the moral to the story is probably when you're talking about a draft class, like the one that we're looking at with a bunch of quarterbacks, the draft value chart isn't the most accurate tool to use when you're trying to figure out how teams can trade up because, you know, as we all know, certain picks, if they have certain players that are there, it changes the value of sorts. A first rounder is not, you know, if it's in the top 5, if you're talking about a linebacker, or if you're talking about a quarterback, those are two totally different values, even though it's still the number 5 overall pick or what have you.
Right. Like the 2013 draft where EJ Manuel was the top quarterback, like the Chiefs couldn't even get out of the first pick. Like they were desperate to get out and couldn't do it.
But I will tell you real quickly, the funniest part about that whole situation was, you know, I love those guys. I've been listening to them since I was a teenager. It's an awesome show. I was getting in my car, leaving CVS, and I get back in and I hear you doing the whole Britney Spears, leave Britney alone, leave Tyler alone. And I'm like, what is happening?
I was like, leave Sully alone. Like at the end of my hit. Cause, I was like, surely he's out there. Like there's a decent chance you're out there listening.
Oh, yeah.
I tried to be as kind as I could when they asked me about the offer, but then I realized too that on this podcast, we talked about doing something like that. So it was like, man, you know,
it's an exact science. I mean, you know, and again, but I will say the 49ers trade didn't help me.
No,
it didn't help me. I would have appreciated if they waited a little bit longer, But again, when you talk about quarterbacks and all of that, it changes the value. It certainly does.
It absolutely does. We'll have plenty more coverage, of course, of the draft and the trades that are happening around it. Seems like it's going to be a pretty spicy draft, but let's get into the free agency grades. And we start with the Patriots, who had a very, very, very busy offseason. They signed Jonnu Smith and Hunter Henry, of course, Matthew Judon, the pass rusher they added. They plucked Kyle Van Noy back along with they'll be getting a comp pick for Kyle Van Noy, which is wildly insane. Also added Jalen Mills on the back end of the defense and picked up Nelson Aguilar and Kendrick Bourne. Cam Newton was re-signed. James White brought back David Andrews as well. And they end up losing Joe Tooney in free agency, although reportedly we're still, you know, trying to get in on him and spend money on him too. Patrick Chung retired. If you're grading the Patriots offseason so far, grading the free agency, the Pats free agency grade, not their offseason grade, how would you, what grade would you give the Pats?
And when we did this for the editorial team, we did this a couple of weeks ago or about a week and a half ago, whatever it was, and I gave them a B plus, and that I almost felt was generous. And I'm kind of a little bit more critical on New England just because I almost feel like they're, and I was really going to give them maybe a B minus, but after that second week, which was what I thought was probably their most impressive or most important, was re-signing David Andrews, bringing back James White, Lawrence Guy. Those are you know, not, I mean, James White maybe outside of it, but David Andrews, Lawrence Guy, those are two key pieces to a successful New England Patriots team and guys that they probably needed to retain because it was tough to replace what you could give them, whether it's at the draft or in the open market and free agency. When you're talking about Jonnu Smith, Hunter Henry, and Jalen Mills and Matt Judon, those guys are awesome, but you almost, they were not luxuries, they were necessities. And I think that that's probably where I have the biggest gripe with New England. It's, you needed to go get those guys. We're freaking out that they had a crazy offseason, but they needed to have that. And so I don't want to give them too much credit for spending a ton of money or throwing cash at a major problem.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I mean, it's also like, if this were a different team, are we giving them a B plus or an A minus or, you know, even an A? Or is it like if the 2015 Dolphins did this, right? Plucking a team, you know, a mediocre team that missed the playoffs and then decided to just spend all the money in free agency. Are we giving them credit for spending all that money? No, we're probably like, hey, look, you know, they had a good offseason. They got some high value players, but they wasted a ton of money. Now, having said that, I would personally give the Patriots an A, somewhere in the A range, just because one, and I've mentioned this on the podcast a bunch, so I don't want to belabor the point, but one, I think that Bill Belichick saw a shift in supply and demand because of the salary cap situation and because of, various players who were on the open market and all, and decided to be aggressive in this offseason. And then two, I really like the guys that he got. I mean, you know, Matthew Judon and Jalen Mills and those wide receivers are fine, but to me, getting Jonnu Smith and Hunter Henry just completely rejuvenates, what was a lethargic offense last year. So I like what they did. I don't necessarily know that, I don't necessarily guarantee that it will work. And I think there's still some stuff left to be done, but I'm a fan of the offseason.
Yeah. I mean, again, I'm giving them a B plus. It's not like I'm hammering it or anything.
Look, again, I agree with you. Like, you don't win Super Bowl. The Patriots have, this is not what the Patriots did. They won six Super Bowls in the last 20 years and they did by not being idiots in free agency.
I mean, Robert Kraft has quoted this offseason saying that we used to laugh at the teams that spent, sure, a ton of money and basically did what New England did. The other thing that I thought was, you know, a little bit odd for New England is it almost felt like they misread the wide receiver market because they came out of the gates day one. I mean, everybody remembers Matt Judon, Jonnu Smith, but they also brought in Kendrick Bourne and Nelson Aguilar to deals that are pretty large when you start to look at, you know, what, you know, maybe not Kenny Golladay, but what, you know, Curtis Samuel or Juju Smith-Schuster decided to haul in. To me, that is something that, you know, maybe is a little bit of a miscalculation, but again, a need. You know, Nelson Aguilar does stretch the field when he's on. Again, he had one great year in Vegas last year. Kendrick Bourne could be a nice possession guy. It helps, but I almost wonder if that was, if they had waited a little bit longer, would they have gotten those guys on the cheap? Again, you can't wait. You got to get a guy if you like him, but it does feel like they may have overpaid there a little bit.
Yeah. I mean, the Aguilar thing, you know, it's, I mean, they could cut him next offseason and save $5 million against the cap, but, you know, he would still have a, you know, $10 million dead cap hit, you know? So it's like, Okay. I mean, you know, if Nelson Aguilar is 2020 Nelson Aguilar, great. If he's anything before that, you know, or if you play him like the Eagles played him, then you're going to have a problem. The Bourne deal, if I recall correctly, and I think it can be just a 1 year.
That one is not as bad. The Aguilar one is the one that really sets the race of my eyebrows.
Yeah. Yeah. The Bourne deal could just be a 1 year deal and you got 2.8 million dead on the cap next year, which is not too terrible if he doesn't work out. And he's still young, but I agree with you. I mean, it's like, I don't want to fall head over heels in love with the Patriots freewheeling offseason. The Buffalo Bills went out and spent a little bit of cash, but mostly just retained their own guys. They signed Emmanuel Sanders, who will, I don't want to say replace John Brown because they're just not the same player at all. But I mean, I suppose attempt to replace his production or his snaps at wide receiver. Mitchell Trubisky on a dirt cheap backup quarterback deal, and Jacob Hollister, the old running mate at Wyoming for Josh Allen, are their additions. They also brought back Darrell Williams, Joe Feliciano, and very importantly, in my opinion, Matt Milano, while losing John Brown, Andre Roberts, Quentin Jefferson, and Brian Winters. What's your grade for the Bills, Sully?
Best in the AFC East, A-. When you're talking about a team that made it the AFC Championship last year, is an ascending team. We are praising them for the year that they had in 2020, but I think a lot of us are at least looking at Josh Allen saying sneaky MVP candidate, whatever the value is, that's probably going to be a sexy kind of odds play there. Once we get closer to the season, we start talking about that a little bit more. But they retained a ton of their key guys, you just said. I mean, I think the biggest surprise is probably Milano. I don't think anybody really assumed that he would be back, but he has come out and said, or at least it's been reported, that he wants to come back, believes in the Bills being a legitimate contender in the AFC. And when you're able to have guys like that buy in, it's just so huge for your organization. And again, not the sexiest offseason. It's not like New England where they're, you know, throwing the money around, bringing in these huge names, but they retained guys that got them to the AFC Championship, got what was, you know, looked at as a, you know, undesirable starting quarterback, now turned probably one of the best backup quarterbacks in the NFL in Mitch Trubisky, especially when you put him with Brian Daboll and have him kind of, you know, immerse himself into that offense. And I like the addition of Emmanuel Sanders over John Brown. I like that a lot. It's a possession guy to go up against Stephon Diggs in that offense. And again, like you said, the Wyoming connection with Jacob Hollister, who has impressed over, you know, stretches in his career, whether it was briefly in New England or if it was in Seattle. I actually like what he brings to the table as well. I thought it was a great offseason.
Yeah, and when I say replace John Brown, that's actually, I mean, you're right. It's not a fair character.
The targets will be there. It's you know, it's...
Well, I would even argue that, like, maybe the way to say it, the way I should have said it, and I'm like arguing against myself here, but Gabe Davis is replacing John Brown. Like, they believe Gabe Davis in his second year can take a big step forward, replace what John Brown brought to the table, not be injured. And then you have, you know, Stephon Diggs, Cole Beasley, and Emmanuel Sanders, who are, I mean, like, those are just, that's three technicians who are just going to get open.
And I believe they brought back Isaiah McKenzie as well, who I really like, whether, you know, special teams, kind of gadget guy that you can throw.
They use a bunch of on end arounds and stuff like that. Yeah.
I mean, I loved watching him. So, you know, that's a guy that you can maybe see even evolve a little bit more into that offense. So
one quibble with your comments. I like the grade. I agree with it. A-. I don't think Josh Allen's sneaky to win the MVP. He's just one of the biggest fans. that's why, given the leap he took last year, and all the additions they made this offseason, he's just a viable MVP candidate, you know? And we see it all the time where, like this is the why people are, Patrick Mahomes won 10 MVPs. It's like, yeah, people are going to get bored though, you know? And if Josh Allen has a monster season, people are going to want to name him MVP at some point.
It's why, like, LeBron doesn't have a million MVPs or
it's why,
like
it's why Coach K and Bill Belichick don't have a bunch of Coach of the Year awards. Exactly. Yeah. And, look, this is a great offseason. The Bills have done nothing but crush it. Frankly, Sean McDermott and Brandon Bean have been fantastic since they got there. All right. Let's take a break. When we come back, the Miami Dolphins.
The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe's features, like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, available dual wireless charging pads, ensure you can take on any adventure. Available H-Track all-wheel drives, you can take on the dirt trails and kick up some mud. Standard third-row seating, so your whole family can experience the thrill together. Available dual wireless charging pads, so no one gets stuck in the great outdoors with a dead phone. Whether you're tailgating out in the dirt lot, Carter Finley, shout out Carter Finley, or whether you're whitewater rafting, taking the entire family on an adventurous trip, maybe you're out camping at Mount Rogers. I used to go as a kid, wish my parents had a Hyundai Santa Fe. The Hyundai Santa Fe is perfect for your family outing. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
I'm Trey Wingo.
And I'm Kevin Frazier. We're teaming up on a new weekly sports podcast from Wondery, Alternate Routes.
As former SportsCenter anchors and current sports obsessives, we're consumed by all the what-if questions that make being a sports fan so excruciatingly fun.
If you're like us, then you also live and die on the fallout from every drop pass, busted draft pick, and game-changing play.
Or play call.
Intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler.
Sorry, Marshawn, still too soon. Each week on Alternate Routes, we'll take a flashpoint in sports, break down what actually happened, then explore every alternate scenario and the ripple effects it would have caused.
Follow and listen to Alternate Routes on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
I mean, the possibilities are limitless, Kevin.
What if Portland drafted Michael Jordan?
What if the NBA never vetoed the Chris Paul trade to the Lakers?
That's the butterfly effect for real.
Okay, so the Miami Dolphins have been busy. They have a ton of draft picks. They didn't spend a ton of free agency. Added Will Fuller on a one-year deal. Nice cheap deal, but he's going to miss at least one game. Bring in Jacoby Brissett to replace the departed Ryan Fitzpatrick. Not that Fitzpatrick is gone from this earth. He's just playing football somewhere else in Washington. Malcolm Brown, they brought in to fill the running back room. Bernardrick McKinney. And they also lost, as I mentioned, Fitz, Ted Karras, Kyle Van Noy, and Shaq Lawson, while retaining Jason Sanders, their kicker, on a big extension. What was your grade for the Dolphins, for the Fins, Sully?
I gave him a C+, worse in the division. It's again, I like where the Dolphins are going. I love the draft moves that they're making in terms of making those huge swings with the trades and everything like that. But specifically speaking about free agency, I just don't love these moves. It almost feels like they're dipping their toe in just a little bit and not really cannonballing when you have a young quarterback who you say you believe in, and you, what you got to do is build around him. Use that money that you're not spending on him right now elsewhere around the roster. And I think the biggest one for me is Will Fuller. I like him if you're telling me he's playing 16 games. I don't believe that he's playing 16 games.
Not without the PED,
exactly. Right. So you already know he's not playing. But even 15, you know, a full.
I mean, I'm saying, like, he's never been healthy until last year when he got suspended for PEDs. That should tell you something, because PEDs make you better. They also make you healthier.
And so, you know, I forget where I read it, but somebody, or I think it was a tweet or something like that, but forgive me whoever tweeted it. Congratulations. It was a good tweet where it was, Will Fuller is great, but when you start depending on him, that's when he's the least dependable person. It makes all the sense in the world. You want to add a deep threat weapon opposite of Devontae Parker for Tua, who, first of all, I don't even know if it really meshes. He had a little bit of a deep ball at Alabama, but they were almost reluctant and refused to let him throw the deep ball in Miami.
And Alabama had plenty of deep ball weapons,
right,
too.
Right. Yeah, so again, it's different. Apples and oranges sometimes with college and the NFL when you're talking stuff like that.
For sure.
But like, they just didn't want him to throw the deep ball last year. And I don't know if that was a lack of personnel, if that was a lack of faith in his ability to throw the deep ball or whatever. I just wonder if this is even a fit too with Will Fuller. So that's probably my biggest gripe, just because it's the flashiest name and all that. I do like them adding Adam Butler. He's a guy that was in New England for a while, saw him up close. Really good guy to add in the interior. Brian Flores knows him well, but the Will Fuller one to me, I just can't really buy it right now.
I mean, I think you may even be a little high on their offseason. And it's not, again, we're not saying you have to spend money and go crazy to get a good grade, but like they gave a $22 million contract to a kicker. That was their big signing. And I think too, when you talk about this grade and how their all season win in free agency, you also have to account for
you know, not just the losses, like, did these losses make you worse, but like, what was the Kyle Van Noy signing? Like, what was the point? Yeah. Why did you give him all that money? You know, and they have plenty of cash. They've been a bad team for a long time. They're coming around. I'm not saying they're a dumb organization because they, you know, did the Van Noy and Shaq Lawson signings. They didn't work out, but you know, it does, you do question, you know, those were two of the flashier moves they made last offseason. Is that, you know, should we be worried about that moving forward?
That's totally fair. And to me, I almost feel like Van Noy is a guy that you want to have in your locker room, in your environment when you're Brian Flores trying to establish a culture with a young quarterback. You know, he's an outspoken guy, a good guy from all accounts. It just feels like that's a guy you would want to keep. And it was a puzzling decision for them to cut him. It wasn't even like they were cap strapped or anything along those lines. I mean, they cleared cap getting rid of him, but I don't know. That one was a head scratcher to me. And again, you know, they're building something solid. Maybe they're looking at it from a standpoint of, listen, we don't need to invest crazy into free agency right now. We're going to, you know, we're moving all around the draft board. We're accumulating picks. We're building a young core around Tua, and that's how we're going to do this thing. And once those young core kind of ascend into, okay, they're ready to go in year two or year three, then we'll start to spend a little bit more to keep this rock skipping. But, you know, just in a vacuum, I didn't love a ton of their moves.
Yeah. And I think it's fair too to point out that, you know, of course they drafted Tua at six. You're all in on Tua. That's what you want to do. But you know, the reason they almost made the playoffs. Did they make the playoffs? I can't remember anything about last year for some
reason.
Very
close, but
this is the weirdest thing. Like, I mean, I swear I'm not, this has never happened before. Like for 2020, I just can't. Anyway, they barely missed it. They got blown out by the Bills. That's right. In week 17. Anyway, and Fitz couldn't play because he had COVID, right? Like the only reason they were in the playoff hunt is because of Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Yeah.
And so if
Jacoby Brissett's not doing that for you, he's a good backup, but I can't imagine that they're going to do this bullpen thing again. I like it. I liked it. I thought it was nifty, but like for a development of a young quarterback, that doesn't help anybody. It doesn't, it maybe helps you in week six, but it doesn't help you in week six, 3 years from now when Tua needs to have that experience of making that fourth quarter comeback or at least attempting it.
And it also feels like the Dolphins, given what they did last year and how close they came, it's like, I think there is a temptation to say that they need to be more aggressive in trying to make a run. At the same time, because you won those games, even without the playoff berth, you know, Brian Flores, the job he's done, the way he's perceived, I think has winning games like that, same thing happened in Carolina. Like you alleviate some of the pressure and the concern with how you're going to be perceived in your own job and whether or not you should be concerned about your own job. The New York Football Jets, no longer being run by Mike Maccagnan, did not make a bunch of wild and zany moves. Instead, they did spend a free agency, but mostly went after younger guys at positions that are more valued in the NFL, unlike running back and middle linebacker. Remember CJ Mosley and Le'Veon Bell, who I'm referring to, of course. They had Carl Lawson, a 25-year-old pass rusher, will be 26 this offseason. Corey Davis, I think an ascending young player. Gerard Davis, former really high draft pick for the Lions in the interior there. Tevin Coleman at running back. See, they got cheap options at running back and middle linebacker. Sheldon Rankins, former first-round pick of the Saints. LaMarcus Joyner and Tyler Croft. Some sneaky good names in there. They also brought back Marcus May, one of the few good players on the roster, and they lost Brashad Perryman, who had flashed for them at times. What grade would you give the Jets, Sully?
B+. I mean, bravo. Finally.
Yeah.
You know, like you were alluding to, the exact opposite type of offseason that they had a few years ago when they were throwing money at Le'Veon Bell, Mosley. You don't need to do that. You are a franchise that's about to really hit the reset button. You're more than likely drafting Zach Wilson. What you're going to do is make smart, shrewd moves like what they did this offseason. I think Carl Lawson's a great addition. Like you were saying, young pass rusher, doesn't have the double digit sack season, which is probably why I maybe didn't get like a ton of looks or whatever, or his market wasn't extremely massive, like maybe Shaq Barrett's would have been. But this is a guy that's a stud and he's young and he's somebody that you can add to that front seven. that's going to help your young quarterback. I think we sometimes almost look at it a little bit too much of, you need to build the offensive line. You need to give them a tight end, which is true. You know, those things are great for young quarterbacks, but what's even better for a young quarterback is a defense that shuts these teams out, where you're not having to throw for a million yards and score every second. And so to me, you add a guy like Carl Lawson, and you add all those guys on defense like Rankins, and bringing back Marcus May on the franchise tag. To me, that's just a stellar job there by Joe Douglas and them. And then on the offensive side of things, again, you didn't throw a ton of money at a running back. You were smart with it. And I actually like you. I'm with you. I like Corey Davis, and I actually like Keelan Cole too. I think he's a great, you know, one.
Oh yeah, I forgot to mention Keelan Cole. Yeah, good call.
You know, that's a good little 1-2 pairing there, depending on what else you do. You know, I just feel like they really made some, again, they didn't jump, you know, to make the headlines or anything like that. They just made some shrewd decisions that are going to help them, not just in 2021, but going forward.
So I look at what the Jets have done under Joe Douglas, and I really think it mimics what the Bills did.
Yeah.
In Buffalo.
Very similar.
Like they got a bunch of offensive linemen that people are like, oh, like Connor McGovern, Greg Van, you know, Van Roten, like, oh, like really, you loaded up. I mean, you know, they signed some like mid-tier offensive linemen who I think they had traits that they sort of coveted, but you know, they don't think they're elite superstars or anything like that. But then mix in Mekhi Becton, who is going to be a superstar if he's not already. And suddenly you have this line that's been together for, you know, a couple of years now. You add some weapons. You don't cut Jamison Crowder. I think that's an underrated move too.
Yeah, yeah,
but you know, he's a quarterback's best friend. You bring in Corey Davis, who can be a physical number one if you know he pans out. You have Denzel Mims there, who's the burner, and then as you point out, Keelan Cole is a nice little addition as well. And so you have all those pieces in place on the offense, and that gives you the option to either keep going with Sam Darnold, which I don't think they're going to do at this point.
Doesn't feel like it.
But like now you can draft the quarterback high, and you do the opposite of what the Jets did with Sam Darnold. They dropped Sam Darnold into a total crap show with nothing around him and no help whatsoever, and then paid big money for an inside linebacker and a running back who hadn't played in a year. So instead, what you do is you build the infrastructure around the quarterback, and then you pluck the quarterback at 2 and plop him in there, and you let him grow and develop like the Bills did with Josh Allen. And then defensively, man, I mean, I don't think this is like the 86 Bears or anything, but Quinnen Williams, Sheldon Rankins, and Carl Lawson on the
front seven was good last year. And all of a sudden you add Carl Lawson like that.
Yeah.
That's fun.
And
man.
Terod Davis can be a tackling machine. They have Ashton Davis and Marcus May on the back end. I mean, I really like Bryce Hall coming out of Virginia. So I agree with you. I think it's a B plus, maybe an A minus.
Yeah.
And I think the Jets, if they hit on Zach Wilson or, you know, whoever they take it to, or if they can fix Sam Darnold, are a sneaky playoff team next year, maybe.
Yeah, no. I mean, they are spicy. I will say
they're
that.
Spicy.
And so the other thing too is, you know, yeah, we have to wait and see what they do at number two again. Zach Wilson, whoever you want to throw in there, but you're going to get a lot of, you know, or a decent amount of haul for Sam Darnold if and when you ultimately move on.
Second, third, something like that.
Whatever it's going to be. And if you're a New York Jets fan and you're bitter about how the Sam Darnold era went, at least you can look at it now, like you were alluding to. They're learning from their mistakes. And again, it's not the same decision makers and all of that, but the organization is going in the direction that many were clamoring for when Sam Darnold was the up and coming quarterback that they wanted to build around for the next 10 years. It feels like they're doing that right now, building a strong foundation for Zach Wilson or enter any quarterback they take
sure.
it to. It feels like they're heading in a very positive direction. Bills like in the early infancy of their, what's now looking like a legit AFC contender.
And look, if you don't screw up all that stuff, you don't get Joe Douglas and he doesn't get to build this, which you think is going to work. So you have that there. Pretty decent offseason in free agency for the AFC. Sully, as always, thanks, buddy. Make sure to check out the feed for other grades. It's the NFL offseason, but on Pick Six, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, the football season never stops. Hosts Will Brinson, John Breach, and Tyler Sullivan are joined by analysts like Brady Quinn, Leslie Deuceable, Katie Mox, and RJ White to keep you in the loop on everything happening around the league. Whether it's free agents signing with new teams, the all-important NFL draft, or schedule release day, Pick Six has you covered.
As the face of the league changes with every team move and player pickup this spring, Pick Six is a must listen. Download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, the Odyssey app, and anywhere podcasts are found.